mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we have a lot of scripture today, don't we? And the other thing is, I thought about asking somebody else to read, but with all the names in there, it sure is a lot easier if I just do them. If you notice that the title I have for my sermon is "The Fall, the Cry, the Joy, and the Good Work," because that's what the message is today, I think, in all of our scripture. I got to share something with you I saw just last night. I watch YouTube at night when I'm going to bed, help me go to sleep. And there was a kid that was on that was talking about the story of Noah is not true, and it says the whole Bible is false. And his premise was that the Sumerians had that story, I think it's Humakishtu, and the Ark and that kind of thing. And he said, because it was written before the Bible, that means it's a Bible book. And I got to thinking about this last night. You know, I get so tired of this. Because we think that the Bible was written right at the time it happened. God told Moses to write it down. Here's the story. And Moses is trying to write down things for people to understand that have really no understanding of what a lot of the stuff in the Bible is. Including Moses. And, you know, I thought, so the Bible is written as though it was explaining things to children, because the God isn't that what we are as children. And so these people that are trying to tear it down because it's not perfectly in step with what happened before. We know the flood happened. What difference does it make if we call it Ushmael in that culture, or we call it Noah this one? We know that God talked to the guy who made the ark. God told Noah, write it down. Let us know that story. And I think that's the important thing we're dealing with. And so when we're looking at scripture, what's in scripture that's a message to us? Well, let's start with the Old Testament message of the fall of man and the sin. And if you notice, I didn't have any fit for you folks to say on that one, because I thought, you know, where am I going to have you step in and read that? So we just listened, or we just listened to it. And I want to start with verse 11. Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? And the man said, the woman who you gave me to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate. And then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And then the Lord said to the serpent, you're busted. Can't you just hear Flip Wilson going on, the devil made me do it? Of course, that's 40, 50 years old, too. Right? Man blames the woman. Woman blames the snake. And then the snake's at the bottom of the totem pole. There was nobody else for him to blame. But you know, the thing is, isn't that the way human nature is? We're always looking for somebody else to blame for what we screw up with. Adam could not have taken the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Could have said to Eve, no, you don't want to eat that. But he didn't, did he? And so the fall is something I think that is equal opportunity for all of us, both men and women. Now I know that over history somebody has said, well, God blames the woman for doing it. No, God doesn't blame the woman. If anything, he blames them both equally. Because he asked the man, why aren't you here? He says, because I'm naked. He said, how do you know you're naked? I mean, it's very, very clear that, you know, it's this went on like this. And I think what's important is because of the eat of that tree of knowledge. Knowledge is important. Once you know you're a sinner, there's no going away from it. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. Okay, and then the cry. And I think that cry is really shown by our psalm today. By the way, I love Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my plea voice and my plea for mercy. Lord, listen to me. Now, you're the only one I can go to. If you, O Lord, question mark iniquities, well, what if we can stand? If you're going to mark all my sins against me, I can't stand. None of us can. But with you, there is forgiveness that you make me fear. You know, and when we go through the catechism, one of the first things that we see on the explanation of the Ten Commandments, so on everyone, you should fear and love God. Do we really want to be afraid of God? No. But fear in this case is not to be afraid, it's respect. So when we say here, that you may be feared, that we may respect you, and respect that you will forgive us, it's okay. With our sins, how can any of us ever stand in front of you? He has the knowledge of our inner self, of our inner sin, of the sins we don't want anyone to know about. My brothers and sisters, we're all guilty. He knows when we've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Jesus Christ is coming to town. Uh-oh, God's calling, I don't think you like it. You know, we're talking about Santa Claus, but does it work for Jesus? You know, especially if you put it, remember I talked about in the things you're writing for children? Isn't that better for us too? I mean, there's no question about that. We know, better watch out, better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Jesus Christ is going to come again. He won't be here. Lost sheep in that parable of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd comes after us. No matter what we've done, or how bad we've been, or where we are, he comes after us, doesn't he? Does he hear our cry? Does he have knowledge of us? Yeah, so that knowledge works with both. Well, let's look at our epistle lesson. Paul talks about the work of a Christian and our ministry in the Lord. And if you notice, he says, our ministry in the Lord. It's not mine. It's our. Because remember, Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and baptize all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? Okay. It doesn't say, pastor, you go. He says, all y'all go. All y'all. We're all ministers of Jesus Christ. It's the priesthood of all believers. All right, so let's take a look at what Paul says to Timothy. By the way, 1 and 2 Timothy is how to be a pastor. But yet, he doesn't say it has to be the pastor of the congregation. He's talking to the people of the congregation. How can you be a pastor? As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, and do the work of an evangelist, fulfilling ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, Lord's Supper. And the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I thought about preaching on that, but that's a whole sermon on itself. And so, so henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearance. And I'm thinking of one of the songs from the Messiah. And who will stand for me when he appeareth? It's that big bass aria. How can I stand? And who will stand with me when he appears? On the day of judgment, we know what's coming. The crown of righteousness was awarded to us from the judge of our lives on the last day. We know what's coming. But this scripture, I think, is telling us that we can stand before God even if we are sinners, doesn't it? Stop and think. We have the forgiveness that Psalm talked about. We have have our knowledge of forgiveness that this talks about, that if we just ask for it, it's freely given, isn't it? So when we start looking at things, God lays out that crown of righteousness for us. Why? Because he loves us. He wants us to be with him. And he knows we're sinners. We know we're sinners. But all we have to do is try. We know we're going to fail. He knows we're going to fail. But you remember I told you before, if you're at 51%, you're a winner. It's hard for us to understand if you want to be 90%, 95%, or 100%. But when you're at 51%, you got 49% of the time you can fail. Remember Joe Montana?
Okay.
Great quarterback. I loved watching him play for the 49ers. One of my students one time brought up a statement. You realize that he was one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game with a 70% completion ratio. That means that 30% of the time, he failed. He's the best. So if he's only making it 70%, and 30% of the time he failed, there is hope. Isn't there? And I think we try and get it, and we're so hard on ourselves if we're not perfect. Perfect has no meaning. What we want to do is be better today than we were yesterday. And I think that's what the scripture is telling us. He wants to give us that crown of righteousness. He wants us to have knowledge of forgiveness. Well, our gospel agrees with this, but there's also a warning. And you know, that is, I think, the last part of my sermon title, and the good work, because the good work also has positives and negatives. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he is possessed by Beelzebul. And by the prince of demons, he casts out the demons. And he called to them, that's Jesus, and he said to them in parables. And why does he teach in parables? So people can understand it, and also they can apply it to more than just what he's saying there. How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But he's coming to an end. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven by the children of men, and whoever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of the eternal sin. Jeff and I have talked about this. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, it says, it's an unclean spirit. Okay, you can't be forgiven for that. But yet, what promise did God make to us on the cross? Forgiveness comes down, it goes up. Alright, so does that mean we're totally lost if we can, if we blaspheme against the Holy Spirit at that moment? But yet, how can you make up for that? Ask for forgiveness. And I think many times, too, that you got to remember this was written by Paul, who's one of the biggest people, to tell us about forgiveness, isn't he? Okay. All right. So this statement here is totally law. And that's from the person who writes about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why do we have law here and not gospel? Stop and think about that for a second. What's the purpose of the law? It's the curb to trip over. It's the mirror to remind us we are sinners. And it's a guide to lead us to the gospel. So we have to acknowledge we're sinners first before we can be forgiven. Does that make sense to you? Yeah, I know, because I can see some heads going like this. You're really chewing on that. But I don't think God ever wants to totally damn us, you. Because if that was the case, none of us would have any hope. And you got to remember that the word epistle in Greek, epsis, is hope. And so if we have hope, we have forgiveness. We have hope, we have the knowledge. Abraham Lincoln quoted scripture in an Illinois State House after he won the nomination for Senate. And this is when he reached out to Stephen Douglas, because he said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And what he said was, in order to heal the rest of the country, you know, I would like to do this. Well, folks, I wish this was the case today, because we get seen to be getting further and further apart. And let's face it, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, most of us want to see the country succeed. Well, we certainly have people in Congress on both sides. We're bad, it's not the case. And you know, we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic, where we elect people to represent our wishes in Congress. When's the last time you really thought that your wishes were being given? You know, it's one of those things that I think it's sad. But if we can be a strong man or woman in the Lord and not allowing anyone into our hand, into our houses, to tear them down, but we can stand before the Lord. Because when we do that, our house is not divided and we are strong. I think the teacher who teaches us the difference between law and gospel will not leave us hanging. But Mark is correct, we can always use a warning about what we do in our lives. But we know we're going to be saved if we just ask for forgiveness. And isn't that good knowledge to have? May this promise of forgiveness keep our hearts and minds